with a second edition of the Reference Bible, isn't it? This thing is heavy. All right, I preached this in junior church today, so I hope I can change it a little bit for you guys. Okay, can you guys tell me a little bit of something? See, we can talk like that. Yeah, I brought the treats if you want the treats, organic lollipops. Okay, America's in a mess. Okay, we are truly in a mess right now. We talked this morning about the street preachers getting stoned up in Dearborn, Michigan, and the police turning a blind eye to it. We live in the freest nation on the face of the earth, and the Word of God is systematically being outlawed. I was talking to a pastor about this the other day, and there is another theory about our country. Okay, the typical Baptist theory of our country is that our founding documents are wonderful Christian documents, and we started out as a wonderful Christian nation. Okay, but then we've just devolved since then. But there's another theory too, is that they never were Christian documents, that they were actually anti-Christian documents, and that it's been doing the documents have been allowing happen exactly what they were meant to allow happen. Okay? Because what you're running into now is this freedom movement amongst the young people, okay, where as long as you leave everybody alone and you get left alone, it's okay. And in some instances, that's okay. I mean, I would rather vote for an atheist politician that would obey the Constitution than a Christian politician that's going to enforce his beliefs on America. Because that's when you get in a mess, is when people start enforcing what they believe is right biblically in this country. And that's what's been going on forever. You've got Catholic politicians, and they're pushing for what they believe is right. You've got Protestant politicians, and they're pushing for what they believe is right. Now you've got a Muslim president pushing for what he believes is right. Okay? So that's a bad area to be in, and that's where we're at in our country right now. But the theory that it was never a Christian nation, I'm leaning towards that way, because if you're a Christian, a born-again Christian, you're not part of a religion, okay? And our Constitution gives the people the freedom of religion. Is it possible that the Founding Fathers, when they wrote that document, they knew that? They knew that Christianity was not a religion. And that's why they gave religion freedom and us not freedom. Okay? Because the Muslims are allowed to practice their religion all the time. The Catholics can practice their religion. The Satanists can practice their religion. But true Christianity, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to see men out on the street corners proclaiming the words of God. They don't want to hear people witnessing to other people. They don't want gospel tracts being handed out in public places. Why is that? Is it a spiritual thing, or have our founding documents been written in a manner to prohibit that? And that's what it's looking like to me, okay? So in 1961, the Bible was removed from public schools. It's a state-owned facility. You have all of your constitutional rights in a state-owned facility. The jail and the schools are owned by the same institution. But you can get a Bible in jail, but you can't get one at school. Why is that? Okay. Judges no longer carry Bibles. And did you know that's the reason you're supposed to stand for a judge in the courtroom? Is because he's supposed to be carrying a Bible and everybody stands for the Word of God? They've gotten rid of their Bibles, and now you stand for the man. Okay. We're moving away from God. Our representatives right here in Indiana are no longer allowed to pray on the House floor from the mic. They have to do it on the floor without a microphone. Chaplains in the military are not allowed to pray in Jesus' name anymore. They're prohibited from doing it. Okay? Hate speech laws are being framed to outlaw preaching. Okay? This is where America's at. You now have free speech zones. Okay? When we go street preaching down at Lafayette, we used to go on campus. We don't even go there anymore. You want to know why? Because they made a free speech zone backed away in a corner somewhere in the trees where nobody goes. Nobody walks there. And you can't hear us back there. You know? Can you get my water, money? Can you get my water? Okay? You got towns, cities, and counties all over the country requiring a permit to peaceably assemble. You're not allowed to stand on town squares anymore. Thank you. And proclaim the words of God. When I got arrested 2 years ago, I got arrested for street preaching in front of a porno shop. They arrested me for disorderly conduct, criminal trespass, and I was in a right-of-way, a public right-of-way, and resisting law enforcement. And he said he was going to arrest me for failure to ID. That wasn't even in the police report. So, you know, something's going on. If something doesn't change, I fear that God will send a famine. Not a typical famine, but a famine this country has never seen before. A famine of his word. A famine of God's word. Look in Amos. It's right after Joel. Amos chapter 8. Now the doctrinal footing for Amos is the second coming, the fiery return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the restoration of the nation of Israel. Okay? But Amos would sneak something in there once in a while about the tribulation, about how God is going to punish the nation of Israel during the tribulation. And that's what Amos chapter 8 is about. Okay, so I'm going to read basically the whole chapter here. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. There's your context. Saith the Lord God, there shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit. Sound familiar? That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drown as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Now here's the key, listen to this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day, there's your context again. In that day shall their fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Now this famine can be applied to us, spiritually and practically. Okay? It can be a national famine, but because we're Christians, it can be a personal famine. Okay? Personally, I feel there's nothing going to change in this country. I think we are steamrolling towards apostasy, full-blown apostasy. God is done blessing us as a nation. Okay? He's dealing with the individual now, I believe. But individually, we can thwart a famine. I'm going to show you some ways to avoid a famine in the land. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for this book. Pray that you'll bless us tonight, Lord. Pray that you will help us receive your word. And I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would have free course in this room and that you would be glorified and we could be a blessing to thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, here's some ways that we can avoid a personal famine of the word of God. Number one, you can pray to God that he would open your eyes to his word. That's how you can avoid a famine. You can pray that God would open your eyes to his word. In Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The greatest prayer a Christian could pray for truth. Okay? It's one of the greatest prayers you can pray if you're studying. Okay? In Ephesians 1:18, Paul says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. Okay? So pray that God will open your eyes. You're not going to be able to do that on your own. You're going to need to pray to God that he does that for you. Okay? That's the only way it's going to happen. Okay? Tyndale was a stickler for this. Okay? What happened to Tyndale? He was strangled and then burned. What was his last words? Lord, I pray that that you open the eyes of the King of England. Right? And then what happened? We got our Bible. That's what happened. One man's prayer brought us the King James Bible. That's how powerful that prayer is. Okay? So pray about that. Pray that God will open your eyes. Okay? Have you ever dealt with people who don't have open eyes? Have you ever dealt with them personally? They refuse to hear the truth. They refuse to even look at the situation objectively from both sides. It's like talking to a mannequin sometimes where they're like this. You know, and there's just a blank stare in their eyes. Okay? The lights are on, but nobody's home. Okay? I deal with people like that all the time. It's mostly family members. It's mostly family members. They get so tired of hearing about this book, they just turn you off. And you can say certain words, and you'll see it. And they'll snap and just, boop. You're done. You might as well stop talking at that point and change the subject. Okay? So you can pray that God will open your eyes to his words. Another thing that you can do to stop a famine of God's word in your life is you can pray that God will humble your heart to his words. Okay? You have got to have a humble heart towards God's words. And it's got to be sincere. You are not going to fool God. If your heart is insincere, he's going to know it. Okay? You may fool yourself. You may fool those around you. But there are three that you're not going to fool. There's three that you're not going to fool. Number one, you're not going to fool God the Father. Okay? You are not going to fool God the Father. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay? Now, we use that passage to show people that they're living a sinful life and that they're going to get corruption back. Okay? But the passage goes deeper than that. It says, be not deceived. Okay? Deceived where? In your heart. Okay? You can be deceived in your own heart. You have to pray that God will humble your heart. Okay? So you're not going to fool God. Amen? He can see right through your heart. All right? Now, the second thing you're not going to fool is you're not going to fool the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to fool him either. He's going to know if your heart's not humble. Okay? In Luke 5, this is where the Lord was teaching or talking to the Pharisees. And he had, the Bible says that he had the power to heal at that time, okay? And I don't know if that means that sometimes he could heal and sometimes he couldn't heal, but it just says he had the power to heal. They mentioned that in the Bible for some reason. But anyway, there was a man sick with the palsy. And remember, he couldn't get in because there were so many people there, so they lowered him down through the roof on his couch or on his bed, whatever, you know, and the Lord healed him. And he forgave him of his sins. And the Pharisees were blown away, and they were mad. Okay? And what did Jesus say to them? Okay? Jesus read their hearts. Why ye reason thee in your hearts? Okay? He knew their thoughts. He knew their heart's intent. He knew that they were not sincere. Okay? So you're not going to fool Jesus Christ if you have an insincere heart. Okay? You have to have a humble heart. You're only going to get that from God. You have to pray for that. Okay? And then my favorite one, the third one you're not going to fool, is you're not going to fool the Bible. You are not going to fool this Bible with an insincere heart. This Bible knows your heart. Look at Hebrews 4:12. You are not going to fool the Bible. It says here, for the word of God is quick. That means alive. That means alive. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you read this book reads you. You are not going to fool this Bible. Okay? It's going to know if you're sincere. And I believe, see, God is obligated to give us truth if we are sincerely searching for it. He's obligated to give us that truth. But on the flip side, if we're not sincerely looking for truth, he's obligated to give us deception. See, he sent the Spirit to Saul. Okay? He sent that lying spirit to Saul. Okay? God can do that. Why did he do that to Saul? Because of his heart. He wasn't sincere, okay? And that can happen to you. Your heart, if your heart's not sincere, and you go to this book, okay, and you look at a passage with a preconceived notion, and you're not open to the truth, God's going to let you see a lie. He's going to let you see it. And you're going to be wise in your own conceits, and you're going to get all messed up, okay? So you're not going to fool the Bible, okay? Look what happens when people start to humble their hearts. Look at 2 Chronicles 34. Verse 27. This is about Josiah and how because of one man's heart, a whole nation was blessed. Because of one man's heart, a whole nation was blessed. Verse 27, because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. One man's heart, because he was humble, he had a sincere, humble heart, God blessed a whole nation because of him. Okay? So that's what we should be looking for in leaders, is sincere, humble hearts, people who are seeking truth. Okay? Even an unsaved man can seek truth. Okay? That's about the only prayer other than salvation, other than Jesus save my soul, that God's going to hear from an unsaved man, is him searching truth. Okay? Imagine if our president did that, if our leaders did that here, if they humbled their hearts to God and they got back in it. I mean, for crying out loud, we didn't have under God until the 60s, I think, or the 50s or the 60s. The phrase under God was not in our Pledge of Allegiance. You know what I mean? So are we becoming a more Christian nation, or are we not? You know, why'd they stick that in there? Was there one good thing that came that day in the legislature? Maybe, maybe not. But imagine if our leaders did that, okay? Skip over to verse 33. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Now that's a leader. That was a good leader. Why was he a good leader? Because God blessed him because of his sincere, humble heart. Okay? So pray that God will give you an humble heart. Okay? What if the people, now that's the rulers, but what if the people humbled their hearts? Okay? Look at chapter 7 in 2 Chronicles. Verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You can apply that to our country. Okay? This is, you know, I listen to a lot of different things on the internet and stuff like that, and you get all of these right-wing things and all these quote-unquote patriot shows about these people who just love the Republic. We love the Republic. We want to restore the Republic. But you know what? They don't talk about God. You know, they talk about fighting the law and standing up for your rights and all that good stuff. The source of our liberty is the Bible. Period. That's the source. Liberty is in Jesus Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay? And you're not going to have the Spirit of the Lord if you don't have the words of God. So they're unbalanced. Is there a place for that in the Christian life? Absolutely, there's a place for that. But it's got to be in balance with the Word of God. Okay? So these patriot types, they're way out of balance, and they don't understand that we're losing our liberties because the people are turning away from the Word of God. Okay? And if we could get people to turn back to the Word of God, we would get our liberty back. That's how it works. That's why we had so much liberty in this country. It wasn't because some government, because some group of men got together and wrote it down on a piece of paper. It's because we had godly people fleeing persecution. And they came over here and we lived peaceably for a long time. But those days are over. Okay, so pray that God would humble your heart to his words. That's one of the ways that you can stop a famine in your life. Okay, the other way that you can stop a famine in your life is pray that God will give you the faith to believe his words. Okay? It never ceases to amaze me how Bible believers, and I'm speaking from my heart here, is that you don't believe what you're reading. It's like some story way back in the past. You know, we believe that we've got victory over sin, but we don't render our members to righteousness, to the work of the Lord. You see what I'm saying? That's true. That's how you get it. Okay? There's a condition upon getting victory over sin. Sure, you got victory over sin because of Calvary, and when you stand before God, Jesus Christ is going to be there in your defense. Okay? But down here while you're on earth, you still got to deal with this flesh, this dead man that you're carrying around. You got to deal with it. And the way you conquer it is not through your own willpower. Okay? You conquer it by conquering sin the way God says to conquer sin. That's how you do it. Okay? You don't let your members, you don't use your members for unrighteousness, and you use your members for righteousness. Okay? That's how you conquer sin. It's called sanctification. Okay? So you pray that God will give you the faith to believe the words. If you don't have the faith to believe God, then ask Him for it. Pray that He gives you the faith. The disciples did that. You remember the disciples in Luke where Jesus was talking about if you've been offended, you know, seven times in a day, you know, forgive them seven times in a day? That was so hard for the apostles or for the disciples to believe. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Okay? Even them, with Jesus Christ standing there right next to them, they wanted Him to increase their faith. Okay? So you need faith. If you don't have it, then you need to ask for it. Okay? And I'm telling you right now, in the New Testament, as a born-again believer, your faith is going to fail. You're going to need Jesus Christ's faith. You're going to need that gift. Okay? You're going to need it. All right? Hebrews 11, the whole chapter is about men and women using their own faith to believe God, using their own faith. And then in verse 40, it says that we've got something better than that. Born-again believers have something better than these men and women using their own faith to trust God. We've got something better than that. What is that? We've got the faith of the Son of God. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. It, faith, is the gift of God. Okay? So when you get born again, the faith of the Son of God, Paul says in Galatians, immediately comes into you, and you've got that. All you have to do is receive it. Because you can reject the faith of the Son of God and operate under your own faith, and you'll be a failure. I mean, you might keep the act up for a while, but that's going to be according to your standards. Okay? Sure, you've got enough faith to dress right. You've got enough faith to eat right. Okay? But you might not have enough faith to turn that television show off. You might not have enough faith to hit your knees every night. Okay? It's going to be to your standards. Okay, but with the faith of the Son of God, we can conquer all things, right? Through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay, so pray that God will give you the faith to believe His words. Okay, not only that, not only do you believe God's word, okay, but you have to believe it exactly as He said it. Okay, look in Acts. Acts 27. This is an interesting passage. Acts 27, starting verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. Who's that? Jesus Christ. We find that right after the comma. Whose I am and whom I serve. Now, I don't think Paul was worshiping an angel. I think he was worshiping Jesus Christ. That's another name for Jesus Christ, as the angel of the Lord. Verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, this is Paul speaking, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. He believed God. What else did he do? For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. He believed God exactly how it was said. Okay? You apply that to the Bible, you believe the Bible exactly how it is written. Okay? I've said this before. We don't question the newspaper. We don't look at the newspaper and say, you know, oh, three killed in a fire and go, I wonder what that means. You know what I'm saying? We don't do that. Okay? We don't question our doctor. We don't question the news anchors. So why are we going to question God's word? Okay? So if you don't have the faith to believe God's word, then you need to ask God, you need to pray to God that He can give you, that He will give you the faith to believe His word, exactly how He wrote it. Amen? Okay? And lastly, the Thessalonians believe God's word. There's our example, the Thessalonians. These are people who thought they missed the tribulation, or thought they missed the rapture, and they were going through the tribulation. Okay, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen the persecution like that to where I would think we're in the tribulation. I haven't seen it. And there's Christians getting their heads chopped off every day in this world. It just doesn't get reported on. Okay? So in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye had heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Okay? They believed the words of God as it was given to them. They didn't question them. They checked the scriptures to see that it was so. Okay? And then they believed it. Amen? So, the way you can stop a famine of the Word of God in your life is you can pray that God will open your eyes to His Word. You can pray that God will humble your hearts to His Word. And you can pray that God would give you the faith to believe His words. Okay? And I'm telling you right now, there's some of you in here now that God has sent you a famine of His words. Okay? And you need to do these three things to fix that. You need to get right with God, and you need to fix that. It happens to everybody. We get caught up in life, we get caught up in the world, we get caught up in all sorts of things, and we don't go through the right steps to get understanding from the Lord, and He sends us a famine. He sends it to wake us up. Okay? So let's go to the Lord. Lord, thank You for this day, and thank You for Your book, a perfect book that we can believe, that we can trust, and that we can get in our hands. And I just pray, Lord, now that this message was a blessing to somebody in here today, and that if somebody here doesn't know You, Lord, that they would humble themselves and accept Your words, Lord, and accept Your Son as their Savior. Please, God, bless us now as we leave, and I pray, Lord, that we could be a blessing to Thee. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.